Welcome back. As we prepare our hearts and receive the word today, I also just wanted to say it's great to have Jordan here with us over our online worship. And it's just been a really big blessing to us and to our undergrad community as well. So welcome, Jordan. And as our passage for today is in Philippians, is chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 to 7 and go to chapter 4 and verse 15 there. So here's the word of the Lord. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Now jumping to 4:15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the blessing of being able to worship together. And Lord, we ask that your spirit would have your way at this place in our hearts, God. Lord, open up our ears, open up our minds, open up our spirits to receive the word you have for us today. And let it be nourishment, Lord, to our bodies, our spirits. And help us to live the things that we learn today. In Jesus' name. So I have a question for you. When it comes to keeping in touch with people, how would you describe yourself? Would you say you naturally think about people and find ways to connect with them? Would you say, I'm okay at keeping up in touch with people? Or C, the last one, I tend to be out of sight, out of mind. So you have A, B, or C right now, and you're in the chat boxes, whether you're on Facebook or you're on YouTube, go ahead and put A, B, or C so you get an idea of where you all stand. And if you're wondering, sometimes it's what other people say about you. It's other people might say, hey, you're really good at keeping in touch. Or someone might be like, you're so not good at keeping in touch. So those are kind of things you might have heard. They'll give you a clue where you stand. Okay, so looking at what people have put, I cannot see it, but as you see it, I imagine that there's probably mostly B's and C's out there. It's actually kind of rare to find someone who's really good at keeping in touch. And many of us can relate to, it feels like it's more out of sight, out of mind when it comes to remembering people that we don't normally see. So then we read this passage where Paul is talking about how he remembers the Philippians and he holds them in his heart, right? And the question can come to your mind as we think about, well, how are we to apply this message of practicing community and practicing a sense of holding people in our hearts, having a mindfulness of one another? How do we do that? And especially during this season of quarantine, when we can't see each other, though we want to. Paul and the Philippians held each other in their hearts in that time and day when there was no phone, internet, video conferencing. He says that they were able to be, he says they were mindful of each other and held each other in their hearts. How did they come to hold one another in their hearts? That's the question I have for us today. And thankfully, we have a passage that we can go into. And as we learn, we'll realize that as a church, we can grow. We can grow in holding one another in our hearts during this season of COVID and as we come out of it. So let's dive in. How were Paul and the Philippians able to hold one another in their hearts? Going into the passage, we see that they were bonded together in partnership in the gospel and as partakers of God's grace together. In verses 3 to 5, it says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul and the Philippians were joined together by the love of God and their passion to share it with others. To understand how this came to be, we should go to just some of the history behind what happened. Paul received a vision from the Lord, and that's how he went over to Macedonia, where the city of Philippi was located. So Philippi was the first city that he preached in, essentially on the European continent. When he preached the gospel there, it was actually a group of women that first came to know the Lord and then their families, and it continued to spread. But after some time, Paul and his companions came under persecution. Eventually, they were beaten, thrown in prison, and then they were kicked out of the city. Those Philippian believers, as they saw Paul go through all that he did and this, as they were in relationship with him, their hearts were drawn to Paul, and they realized they wanted to be with Paul in heart and spirit as much as they could in the time to come. So in their hearts, they said, "We are partnering with you," and they showed it through their actions. It says that from that point forward, that they chose to give to Paul and to follow along with him as much as they could, giving him aid and sending it to him. In fact, it said that they were willing to struggle and suffer for the gospel just as Paul had. In Philippians 1, 29 to 30, it says, Paul's writing, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." The cause of Christ bonded them together, and they knew they were on the same team. They were fighting their battles in their own places, but essentially they're fighting the same war. They held each other in their hearts. They prayed for one another. They knew they were together partners in the gospel. It goes on. It says in verse 7, Paul says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers of me with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." They saw themselves as partaking of the grace of God, not only in receiving salvation together, knowing that none of us deserve to receive God's grace, but they understood that it was a grace of God to be able to suffer together and even struggle together for the gospel. So the Philippians were bonded together as partakers in the grace and as partners in the gospel. We see in Philippians 4:15 another aspect of what brought them together and holding each other in their hearts. Paul says, "And you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." It's really significant here that Paul mentions the Philippians were the only ones out of all the churches that Paul started that shared with him in this partnership of giving and receiving. They had a mutual relationship. Let's go over the history a bit of their relationship to understand how they gave and received between each other. Paul, as we talked, was called by God in a dream, and he shared the gospel with them. And early on, it was Lydia, one of the first Philippian converts, who urged Paul and his companions to stay with her in her home, and she provided for them while they were there. So Paul received hospitality from the Philippians from the start. Whereas in other places that Paul preached the gospel, Paul chose to work as a tent maker so that he felt like he wouldn't want to burden the churches there. But he felt differently about the Philippian church. He saw that they really wanted to serve him and have this kind of mutual relationship. So he received their hospitality. The Philippians visited Paul and sent him money and goods through messengers. It said in Philippians 4:16, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Paul made the effort to also visit them, and he visited them twice on his third missionary journey, going back and up and down that Greek area, peninsula area. Later on, while Paul was in Rome under house arrest, the Philippians sent Epaphroditus to see how Paul was doing. That was a journey of over 1,200 miles, so no small feat in that time and day. So they sent him to share news of how they were doing as a church. They sent goods and money to Paul. And Paul says this in Philippians 14, "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." And in his letter to the Philippians, Paul expresses how much he wants to see them, and he makes plans to visit them again. And many people, scholars believe, he was able to make another visit. So in all this, we see this desire to see one another, to visit one another as much as they could with their time and day. It wasn't easy to do, but they maintained a relationship of giving and receiving. And because they had this connection with each other, they knew how to pray for each other. And Paul says he always remembered them in prayer. He knew what things to pray for them about. And he says also that they prayed for him. He says, "I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus, this will turn out for his deliverance." He knew they were praying for him in that Roman prison. Because he knew about them, he was able to speak specific words of encouragement and warning into their lives. So the whole book of Philippians is filled with those very specific words for the Philippians who were on his heart. He says things like, "Stand firm, make me proud, press on, imitate me, watch out for these people who are trying to teach heresy and things that are going to lead you astray. Be humble, stay unified." He speaks specifically to two women who he says were his fellow workmen in the faith, to get along. He heard about their quarrels and he says, "Please get along," right? You can't say those kind of things unless you know what's going on with your friends. He stayed in relationship with them. They stayed in relationship with him. It was a mutual relationship marked by practical help, by accountability, by prayer, and making visit as often as they could. So how do we grow in holding one another in our hearts? And I use that word grow because, again, it's a process. It's a process of growth. We don't have to already be there and feel like this is an unattainable standard before us. We have a model here for us to follow. How do we see one another, and do we see one another as partners in the gospel and partakers of grace? Are we pursuing mutual relationships of giving and receiving? Right now, I want you to just take a moment and close your eyes, because I want to lead you in just a chance to visualize some things. I want you to visualize, or remember is maybe more of a accurate way I want you to do this. I want you to remember how you received the gospel. Remember, how did you come to partake in the grace of God? What scenes come to mind? What memories come to mind of the people that God used in your life, the situations that you were in? I imagine that there would be many different scenes that would come into your mind. When did your spirit come alive because of what someone said, a prayer that they prayed for you? Where were you? Who shared with you? Who was your community at that time? What encouraging words did you receive? Now open your eyes, and as you have those memories in your mind, I just wanted to share briefly my memory, one of my memories that came to me. When I was in either first or second grade, It was a time when our church would send all the children to a kids' camp. I lived in New York City, and the camp was in a rural part of Pennsylvania. And one of those years, our speaker that year was a woman named Pastor Shirley. And I received Christ in my heart that year as Pastor Shirley shared the gospel. And kids' camp overall was just a ton of fun. And I have lots of good memories of kids' camp. But the really cool thing was that my church, it was a bunch of churches that came together, but my church decided to hire Pastor Shirley. So she ended up becoming our kids' church pastor. And I remember specifically one time, she came to visit our family in our little apartment in Queens. I was so excited. I was like, why would she come to visit us? It felt like the president of the United States was coming to visit us. Pastor Shirley is coming to our house. I remember feeling really excited. My mom made some tea, and I have this picture that we took with Pastor Shirley. It's like this vivid picture in my mind of us around our dining room table. Pastor Shirley's there. Myself, my younger brother, my sister, my mom are all in this picture. It was a really special moment. And that's just something that speaks to me, like those kind of moments, a visitation from somebody. The moment where not only when you receive Christ, but all those moments that followed, the moments that led up to it, all those moments when you felt discouraged and someone spoke into your life. We are all together partakers of God's grace. And we are all together partners in the gospel to share what we've received. When Jesus called Peter, the words that he said was, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." Isn't it significant that Jesus said, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men"? That was the words that Jesus used to hook Peter, right? And he says, "I'm going to call you so you can hook other people." And the last words of Jesus to Peter was, "If you love me, take care of my sheep." Again, bringing to Peter and saying, remember what I called you from the very beginning. I want you to do what I've done for you. Hook other people, right? Feed my sheep. Take care of other people. We are partners in the gospel. So as you've received grace from people, again, I want you to imagine who are the people that you see alongside with you as partners in the gospel. Who is in your community, your small group? These are your fellow soldiers. These are your co-laborers. These are the people fighting alongside you, struggling and making our mark and saying, we're not going to give up. We're going to keep sharing the gospel. We're going to keep following the Lord, growing in our faith, living out our walk, loving each other, loving our world. These are the people in our lives. They may also include your family members, friends near or far, relatives, the people who are your co-laborers in the faith. So how do we grow in practicing receiving and giving with these people around us? This past week, we had a social media post that was put up, and it had a question for us. It said, the question or the statement was this: practicing community is harder now than it ever has been. True or false? So in your chat rooms, chat boxes, go ahead and put your answer. Is practicing community harder now than it ever has been? What's your answer? True or false? So I want to say there's no right or wrong answer to this question. It's really more of an opinion question. And I'm going to throw out there my opinion in the mix. It's relative is what I would say, but I would say false because of this. I'm going to say in the situation of COVID, we want to, in comparison to our passage for today, where Paul and Philippians were in this first century world, imagine how they sent mail to each other. You sent mail to another city by figuring out, is there someone else headed in that direction? Whether someone you knew or whatever, someone you didn't know. You had to find somebody who happened to be going in that direction to send your letter. And you had to trust that person would deliver it to the place you wanted to go, right? What do we have today? We have the world at our fingertips, the opportunity to keep in touch, like, in that's so quickly in a way that has never been like any other time before, right? It's incredible how the resources that we have. So in light of that, I want us to think about the opportunities rather than how difficult it is, right? Although we know Zoom fatigue is real, but think about the opportunities we have. So in light of that, just to throw out some ideas for us right now, I want to see some of the things I have learned as it comes to holding people in our hearts. Make time in your schedule to follow up with one another. Oftentimes, it's not going to happen by just, I'm going to happen to think about somebody in my life, right? Choose to make time. There may be a few people that you choose to keep a regular time with, whether it be that once a month, hey, the first Monday of every month, let's make a phone call. Let's put it into our schedule. And as often as it can happen, you do it, right? Those are the reasons why I'm able to maintain relationships with people in my life as a person who's not naturally good at it. There's Bible study that's a regular time every week in your schedule. So you commit to that and you do it, right? This time of gathering on Sundays is a set time. It's a time where we get to worship together. Even in some way, we sense a community with one another as we're online together. So set the times into your schedule. Make it a part of your life, right? Be committed. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up Zooming together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I think some of you might have caught, the version is a little different, but it's for us today. Let's not give up Zooming, meeting each other in the ways that we can. Because if Paul and the Philippians could do it in their day and time, we can surely do it in our day and time. And as we're in a relationship with each other, sharing our life, that's where the accountability happens. That's how we're going to know what are the needs we have. And we're going to be able to meet one another's needs, whether they be practical, emotional, spiritual. It's going to be how we know how to pray for one another. So let's not give up meeting together. This time of COVID, we know that it's not going to last forever. Let's not let COVID get the best of us. Let's pursue relationships with one another, knowing that we're united in our partnership in the gospel and partakers of the same grace of God. Let's come out of this with our hearts more stronger and with one another on our minds more than ever before.